And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is June 15th, 2024, and we welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here. And wow, 6/15/24. That means we're halfway through the calendar year of the 2024, and it certainly has gone by fast. I'll bring the men on the line. It looks like we've got a Paul on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And we've got Josh on the line. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And we've got Tim on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And, Tim, why don't you kick us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Okay. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another day and another opportunity to serve you in your great kingdom, Lord. We know that we are honored to be able to participate in some small way and to be able to serve our Lord. Lord, we just pray that you would take this broadcast today and use it for your ends and your means, that, Lord, it might reach out, change lives, touch hearts, give new thought, focus to your people, and, Lord, bring those in that are waiting for the greater things of God. We just pray that you would bless the tongues that speak, and that, Lord, we'd speak in your name, and that we would not bless those who should not be blessed, and Lord, that we would just continue to serve you with a cheerful heart and a good countenance. And Lord, we ask that you'd protect your people, Lord, that you'd protect our families, and Lord, that you would just bless the works of our hands and our hearts and our minds, Lord, and make them all in accordance with thy plan and thy purpose. We just thank you for it, and we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray it by his blood. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. Amen. Well, I don't know. Does any of you men have anything that you'd like to start off with this morning? And that's fine. I got a picture that was sent to me in an email, and boy, it just it's, you know, sometimes it just something just irks you, and I've seen it around here too. You know, it's what this world calls Pride Month, and you know, and they're toting this, you know, homosexuality, gay flag, gay pride stuff just all over. It seems like every direction that you turn, it's getting shoved down our face and it's shoved down our throats in one way or another. And I just wanted to start off by reading a couple of scriptures. And the first one's Leviticus 18:22. It says, "You shall not sleep with a male as one sleeps with a female. It is an abomination." Leviticus 20:13 says, "If there is a man who sleeps with a male, those who sleep with as those who sleeps with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. They must be put to death. They have brought their own deaths upon themselves." And you know, this is what the Bible has to say about homosexuality. And you've got churches that are putting up this this pride flag, all welcome here. All are welcome here. We have one of them in town that I know that that they have a big sign that's out in front. All welcome here, and it's, you know, it says, you know, blacks and gays and Asians and whatever, and talking about transgenders, and it's a, I don't know what denomination it is, but baby, obviously they don't use the Bible. And, you know, and I was thinking about it to myself this morning, and it's like, what, you know, they're talking about pride, and what do they have to be prideful for? It's, they're abominations. And you know, I know it's been a reoccurring, theme, and we've been talking about it, but it's like, okay, I mean, these are churches in the land that are promoting this, what they call a lifestyle, and it's a death style. It's abomination, and it's abomination to God. And, it's just like, wow.
It's funny, it kind of, you saying that kind of goes along with what I was thinking about, trying to push that down our throat, and you got to be acceptive and you got to be politically correct and can't, you know, you got to have the correct outlook. And I was having a conversation with a guy that I worked with this morning. I'm not a big tattoo guy, but I really like one he's got on his forearm. It says disobey. And and he's, it's in context, you know. I mean, that's the way the guy he lives, you know, it's not being out of order disobeying as far as disobeying God and his laws and what have you, but it's disobeying them and their anti-Christ system, in other words, everything that's opposite of what God has for us that's good and good for us. You know, he's against that. And I was just thinking about how much it is our duty to disobey and to make a stand. And, you know, we, it's depicted in stories and books and pictures, you know, one day this big holy war, whenever the angels come down out of the heaven and all, and that's what, that it'll be time to fight them. Well, that, no, today is the time to fight, you know, standing up for what's right and saying what's wrong and saying no and not going along with their
agenda.
Talk about, yeah. without getting mad and saying, you know what I'm saying? But, not going along with their crap.
Right.
You know, and not acting like it's normal. And when you don't say anything, you're going along with it. It's just like you approve of it. You know, and I'm not saying that you got to go out there and put a t-shirt on and try to pick fights, but you can tell whenever somebody's earnest and you're having a conversation or whatever, when it's time, you should pray for discernment to know when to speak and when to be silent. But when it's time to speak, you doggone ought to open your mouth and say just what you said. This is a death style. Like the Bible speaks clearly about it. It's not good for you, not good for anybody involved, except for our enemies, whenever we allow it to go on here in the land. It's a curse upon all of our heads.
Exactly. Well, and you've seen how, you know, Disney's bouncing back. You know, they were going bankrupt, and basically they got a new CEO and they said, hey, we're not going to promote any of this woke crap anymore. And, you know, we're in the business of entertainment, not on, you know, trying to get political. And they started coming back and they, you know, started, I mean, bouncing back from it. And then they just came out with this Galactica Star Wars character, and he's gay. And it's like, I mean, is, you know, okay, there they are, pushing it back. They can't help themselves. It's like those unreasoning animals, you know, they just, they're creatures of instinct and they're not going to stop. But, it, you know, that's why you've got to say something, and you don't say anything, then you're, you know, this next generation are going to think, oh, it's okay. You know?
Yeah. I've been traveling this week and, so in the evening times, what have you, I've watched a little bit of TV, don't hardly ever do that at the house, but apparently now there's some female, I guess she, I don't know what she claims to be, but apparently used to be a female country singer that is getting popular and is LGBT, GLW, whatever the letters are. And so there was a commercial pushing, you know, that it's going to bring around country music to be, you know, whatever. And, I mean, it's just, which it ain't been good in some time. I try not like it has, but just pushing it further and further and further. There is no, I don't guess there's any limits to what they are attempting to win the war. And to win the war, you got to win completely.
Well, and something that you said, Josh, and I was listening to you and Jason talk there about that, and it said occupy till I come thing. You know, we are placeholders. We're occupied. One of the things is, and you can admire it to a certain degree. I mean, I sometimes just like you shake your head, but it's like you said about the Disney there. They just got to jump back into it, or like you guys said about it there. You know, they got to jump back into Jason said that, but they can't help themselves because they're occupying for their situation. And that's one of those things. I mean, a lot of times I feel like well, Lord, we just took care of this, you know. I mean, and here we go again. I mean, what's going on? And it's like, yeah, well, they're just doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know. I mean, they're not going to quit, and you can't either. You know, that's the occupy part. And it's just like they defy the living God at every, you know, they constantly defy the living God and seek destruction. And we see that. Didn't work out too well for Goliath, you know. He defied, but it's like, well, we cannot just put our feet up. I mean, and take our ease. That's one of those blessings at the end of the program, where God says, well, you know, you're going to get some rest. But it's a situation there where, I mean, they do the same thing on. I was just reading. The pistol brace thing there, the ATF, the, you know, some judge in, I think it was Texas, he threw that all out and threw the pistol brace thing out. Well, that's great. But then I was reading, and is it life-altering in the kingdom? Probably not that big a deal, but, you know, small victories and different things. But then I'm reading, I think it was an MSN article or one of the mainstream media ones, and they said, but it's not over, you know. And it's like, yeah, I'm sure it's not. You're not going to quit, or you're not going to, you know, back off or back up on any of that. So,
well, and I like the way
you mentioned
the ATF.
Goliath.
Go ahead, Josh.
You mentioned Goliath, and it didn't work out for him, but you got to remember, it did for a while, and it was looking pretty dark on the right side of the fence. I mean, he went on his reign of terror for a while, and it lasted, but it did, in the end, God did raise up somebody to take him down. And it's the, you know, we're in that time now where it's going on like this, and it may be for a while, but we just got to not give up and not give in and look forward to the day that we win. And everybody's winning is different, right? Because we've got a different, each of us has a different mission here. So that's what we got to be focusing on, is what is your mission and what is your winning according to what God has planned for you.
Amen. Yeah. And I do like that about the ATF, Tim. I'm glad you brought that up, because I read that yesterday also. And basically, they kind of got put in their place, you know. That judge ruled that, you know, that they weren't to make law. And they had changed law, passed law, whatever you want to call it, made policy. And that they didn't have the authority to do so. So, you know, I thought that was good. Is your bump stock going to save your life or anything like that? No, absolutely not. But they are kind of fun every once in a while, too.
Yes. Well, and I think a lot of times, you know, one of the things that interests me is Hebrews 11, 24, 25, right there somewhere says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And it was speaking about, you know, Christian sacrifice. And I think a lot of times that is the case with those workers of iniquity, those sons of hell, is they're winning their thing, just like you said, Joshua, with Goliath. It's a season, you know. And if you look at the short term, it's like, well, man, they're really kicking our butt, you know. But the long term, God's not a seasonal kind of guy. He's a eternity kind of guy, you know. And the long game, you guys haven't got a, you know, snowflake's chance. I mean, as far as that goes. So it's like, yeah. And we have to remember that, because we are, you know, we are in our current state. We don't see that eternal picture brightly. You know, we sometimes lose track of it, and we get a little despondent, but you know, he's still here. He's still extremely powerful. His word still lives and exists and functions. 2,000 and some odd years after his ascension. So These things are, it's like, yeah, it's pretty long term, guys. So it's not going away.
Well, Paul, what do you have to say this morning?
Well, I said certain things he's thinking here, you know, the way that the God talks the great fall and the way it has to happen before he returns and stuff. And what we really need is the strength to endure, to go through this. We've all spoke out and with very little, what appeared to very little results, Pastor Peter's preached his heart out, and it don't appear that it made much difference, but we don't really know how much difference it made, because there's people out there that definitely are grounded. They're not going along with it. But see, the news media overwhelms us and talks over us and stuff like that. But that just isn't the truth. They just isn't it, you know. Just, you know, this thing of everybody getting on Trump too is just kind of irritates me, because, you know, I was thinking about that. The Bible says, "Curse is the man." And everybody wants somebody leaving out, but, you know, you go back to Samuel, what does God want from us? He wants a Christian self-government. Now, you need a George Washington to come along to orchestrate this stuff and stuff, but the people have to be moral on the street, and they don't even know what sin is. This will be healed from the ground up, not the top down. And I'm just not sure about Trump. There's some stuff he does that I just don't care for. But God uses Nebuchadnezzar, he uses Biden, he uses everything. And sometimes we have this great falling away to wake people up. You know, hey, this just isn't right. You know, it's like the prodigal son. You know, I can go back home and do better than I'm doing out in this pig pen. So, and that's kind of the shoes that we're in right now, is we're in a pig pen, to say the least. And we need to repent or perish.
Well, and part of it is that we want Trump to do it for us, right? Like, he can right. do the work. He can be the savior. Another part is he's good for our 401ks and, you know, our retirements and our benefits. And definitely I'm not against him. I can't say I'm 100% for him, but he is part of the system that's a, not the way it's supposed to be. And that system is supposed to have us govern ourselves, just like what you said, us choosing to be in line and follow God. And then everything else lines up behind that whenever we're doing our part to hold our place in the kingdom.
Right. We need godly teachers too, you know. You read Jeremiah 23 about these teachers that are in the thing today. God says they preach, but they preach from their own. I didn't call them. And we need, you know, this country was run by God-fearing preachers. It was, the war was started, you know, the political terms of the Revolutionary War, the preachers brought this country to freedom. And now it's run by godless attorneys. You know, we have a great fall away. You know, and judges make these rulings that aren't law at all. You know, people vote for the truth and then they overrun it. And we need a whole new management system with Christ at the center of it.
I agree that we need godly preachers, but I would say before we need the godly preachers, we need godly doers. So that way, when they do open their mouth and preach, there's some weight to it, not just the empty words that they hadn't backed up, you know. And that's where you got to start, is by being obedient and by doing, if you're going to have any weight with folks and hearing what you're saying.
Well, preacher, people need to hold a preacher to the Bible. You know, I've had to fall away from what I was raised in and stuff, but I stayed on the Bible. And then I found scriptures for America, but you got to look for the truth. You know, it don't just come. And you know, sometimes, how many people and God's people that lived in Babylon and came out and they understood Babylon, but they repented of it. And I guess we all have to see it for ourselves, but we have to be grounded in the Word. And that preacher on that pulpit doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of the matter. You got to hold him to the Scripture. Well, this is what this says, you know. You know, well, yeah, accept Christ. Well, what does Acts 2:38 have him read it? Is that what it says? is if, you know, in the Baptist, it's not we're saved for an inward grace. That baptism isn't for that. It's for the remission of sin. Well, that brings up the big issue. What is sin? And that changes everything.
Good point. I did see, on another note, I saw some good news this morning. And I don't know that I think everybody's probably familiar with the Southern Poverty Law Center, but basically the organization that comes out and informs law enforcement and different agencies on who the bad guys are. You know, this church has been written up by the Southern Poverty Law Center for, a number of years, probably 30 years now. But Southern Poverty Law Center laid off, I believe it was 60% of their staff. Well, I'll just read it here. This one was on, I think it was on X, but it says, with nearly $1 billion endowment and earnings of $500 million per year, how does abandoning Southern Poverty Law Center's commitment to help advancing human rights of people, are these just actions of an organization fighting for racial justice in the Deep South? That wasn't the one that I was looking for. This one was the one I was looking for. It says, today, SPLC, my employer, laid off over 60 of our union members, essentially shutting multiple departments down. Speaking in a personal capacity, I endorse each and every single word of this statement from our union, an organization which this much money has no excuse. And it says that, they got over $1 billion in reserves, and they laid off, I guess it was a quarter of their staff on Wednesday. So that's encouraging when you see an organization like that going down.
I guess it was they're just going to focus everything on canceling critics of Israel. So they're just they just didn't have $1 billion just wasn't enough for taking care of anybody else, you know, so, or whatever they think they're doing. I mean, it's, yeah. So, I thought it was interesting as well.
I've said forever, the only bond in Washington, D.C. is greed and money. That's only, you know, everybody's there for money. You know, you got your people that, you know, lobby for everything and stuff like that. The only bond there is money, because they don't really like each other. And I would say that's true of the Southern Poverty Law Center, too. They have no bond except see how much damage they could do.
When you said Southern Poverty Law Center, I thought you were about to bring up the Southern Baptist Convention and their vote to ban the women preachers that are, you know, churches that were led by women preachers that the vote failed. I'm sure you saw that too, huh?
Yeah.
That anyway, there was a 61% was for banning the female preachers in churches, but since they didn't have a 2/3 majority, the vote failed. So they'll continue to allow female.
Well, and there just goes something else. It's like, okay, it'd be real simple. If they wanted to be a church that believed the word of God, is all they would have to do is read a couple scriptures, wouldn't they?
Right. Yeah, it's pretty simple.
And another, you know, I was talking with, another man, and I know we've been talking about it, and I mean, it just, there seems to be so much new information coming on, but we keep talking about this invasion that's taking place. I was talking with Derek this week up in Canada, and, you know, talking about, you know, they're getting invaded by the ragheads over there, and, you know, where are they all from? I don't know. I mean, it's Iraq, Afghanistan, India. I mean, you name it. But talking about them, and you know, they've taken over basically the truck driving positions up there. And then this week, I talked to yesterday. I got a call, and was talking with a friend of mine, and he just got back from a business trip and was telling me about the Haitians, and he was talking about going to Massachusetts, in a small town in Massachusetts of around 6,000 people, and checking into a nice hotel, you know, nothing fancy, but what you would consider a decent hotel. and how the complete third floor was sold out to Haitians. And you're talking about, you know, a whole floor of a hotel in the size of a town of 6,000 people, and it was completely full of them. And how they were basically, they were paid up. Their rooms were paid up all the way through 25. So, I mean, and that's just one incident that we're hearing about. And then I was sharing that with somebody last night over dinner, and they were telling me, well, I just got back from another place, and it was New Jersey or something like that, and they were staying in a small town, and they said that it was happening there. And then talking about another, somebody else said, well, they were talking to some family members, and they were talking about another place. I mean, and just talk about insanity, and the amount of money that these people are bringing in is, from what I understand, $5,000 a month. I mean, that's taxpayer money that's going to these people that don't have jobs. They're not adding anything to the society except for spending money and, you know, eating out and, you know, doing basically nothing. How long can stuff like that go on is my question. And I genuinely ask it as a question because I don't know. But,
you think about $5,000 a month. I mean, if we were going to make $5,000 a month, that means we would have to make $8,000 a month to clear five. And you're bumping $100,000 a year. You know, that it would take for us to live on what they're getting just from the government. That's pretty good money.
Yeah, it is.
I was just watching a C-SPAN debate here a day or two ago, and I don't honestly know. It was recent, let's put it that way. But one of the questions that was being brought up to the, you know, Homeland Security people was the fact that, they were the illegal aliens. They didn't like that word. I think they used the word, you know, one of the umbrella policies that allows them to come in, DACA or something like that. But anyways, they're supposedly, these aliens are bringing in, they're adding $1.5 billion to the GNP per year. But this congressman, he was on the ball. He had his numbers together, and he said, so what do we do with the money that's being spent? He said, yeah, how much money are we spending on illegal aliens per year in our country as far as damages go? Well, she didn't know that, but he did. And he said, well, you know, it's in the hundreds of billions of dollars. I don't remember the exact number per year. And most of the money that they're spending in that regard was to educate these illegal children, you know, these illegal alien children, and for educational purposes and for medical purposes. The thing is, you know, the Bible says women and children will rule over you. And I think that's one of those things right there. It's like, well, there we go. We've got a situation here where they're spending and billions of dollars goes right back to, you know, where all the money for education comes from. It comes from your property taxes. That's where it comes from. So if you want to know why your property taxes are going up, and oh, by the way, everybody around here has went up this year again, substantially this year. I mean, it's like, well, why they, you know, what's that all about? It's because they're taking all this money. And it's like, well, and one of the guys, I was talking to one of the guys yesterday, they said, well, we don't have that many illegal aliens up here. I mean, we have quite a few, and more than we did have, but not like some areas. So what's that about? I go, oh, well, that's a, you know, it's an apportioned number. It's given, you know, they draw that money in. The money that you spend doesn't go back to your local community. It goes into the state or the federal community, and then it's reapportioned and sent back out accordingly. So that way it's fair to everybody. And fair is really tongue-in-cheek. I mean, it's like, okay. So
yeah, that means if you're paying taxes, if you're paying your property taxes in rural Nebraska, and that it's getting sent to either Lincoln or Omaha, then they're going to decide how much money your community gets back from all the taxes that are collected in that county.
Exactly. Now, you might get back 3% of that because that's all you need. But, over here, now they need a lot more. So, and in the meantime, you're being taxed right off the property that you own or that you, you know, there's a huge issue here about the fact that retirees can't even stay on their places that they've set up to retire on and live on because it just keeps going up. I mean, in some particular instances here, you can rent or something for, you know, cheaper than you can own your own home. I mean, it's like, wow, this is crazy. I mean, it's like, and in the meantime, everything goes up because just like fuel prices affect everything you touch, so does that, because as far as housing or cost of living, it's a cost of living increase, but it's not for you. it's what you're spending to live, you know. So it's, and they're like, well, you can protest it. It's like, good luck with that. So, you know.
Anyway. Well, Jason, when you were talking about the invasion and you said whatever about ragheads, I can tell you that it seems like, and I maybe could try to pull a statistic or something, but 8 out of 10 convenience stores here in the South are owned by either Asians or ragheads, whatever you want to call it. You know, when you're talking about spending the money for the education, Tim, they teach them how to work the system to a T. Well, there's apparently a handbook or manual or something out, because these families can get these zero interest loans and then they'll get tax deferred on what they make out of these convenience stores for X amount of years. And then whenever it comes time for them to pay their taxes, well, they just sell the store to their brother, cousin, son, whatever. And they just keep moving it in, moving around in the family and never have to pay any taxes on it. And, they have taken over that industry or whatever, or however you want to call it, down here all over the South. And it doesn't seem like a big thing, but if you think about every convenience store, you know, it's on every corner of every town, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of infrastructure, and it happens to be where everybody buys their gas from, too. That's kind of important.
Yeah, what happens if they decide that they want to shut the doors on it or don't want to sell it to you? And, yeah, I mean, you're in trouble. And I just got a message here a minute ago that from a gentleman that's up in Toronto, Canada. And he said he was at a restaurant this morning and went to the hotel restaurant, and 99% of them other races in there. And he said there was lots of them that were wearing the sheets for the for their clothing. And it's, you know, I mean, it's real. It's all over the place. And I know right around here, we haven't noticed them taking over a lot of the gas stations and stuff. We've got, but I mean, it's definitely happened. And not, it just, I really noticed it when I was down in rural Tennessee, that it seemed like every single one of those, you know, gas stations, when you're out in the middle and, you know, next to nowhere, outside of town, every one of those was definitely taken over. But I do know that, you know, our local gas station used to be run by white people. It's owned by Chinese now. They bought up a whole corner city block here in La Porte. And they, you know, same thing, just like what you were talking about, Josh. They, I can't remember. There was something that happened, and they had some come in here, and it was, you know, refugees, and they got no interest loans, deferred taxes, bought a liquor store, bought a couple other businesses, and it's like, yeah, I mean, what, you know, if we were helping our people out like that, things would be a lot different.
You could make a pretty good business model based on that design, you know.
Yes. Well, they actually, like DACA in those cases. DACA, by the way, stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, because they're so worried about the kids, you know. But they actually have advocates that go out there, and they know, they're trained. They understand how to penetrate the corporate government bureaucracy. I mean, that's what they do. Can you imagine having an advocate who, you know, hey, we can get you this free money over here, and oh, this is available over there. And many of these programs that exist, we don't even know they exist. We have no inclination. There's not some registrar of those kinds of things, but they are set up to take and they fill out the right paperwork, and it's filled out by the right person.
Yeah, you ever notice that? I mean, it's like you sit down and look at that, some of that paperwork, and I'll tell you what, I get, I mean, yeah, my mind can go squirrely trying to fill out some of that stuff. And I'm not trying to fill out paperwork to get a, you know, a handout or anything like that, but just, you know, some of this stuff that, you know, USDA papers and stuff for ranching and cows and, you know, this sort of thing. And, you know, that was the other thing is, you know, the USDA came out with a while back, and I don't know if we touched on it or not, but given these illegals interest-free loans to buy farmland. And, you know, it came in with, through one of the programs that was made for or designed for minorities and people of color. And, you know, they've had that. And I remember, you know, 10 years ago when I started I was trying to get some maps from the USDA for a farm in Idaho, and talking with the USDA people down there, and they had all these programs. I mean, this is longer than 10 years ago. It's probably closer to 15 years ago, but 15 years ago, they had these programs for, you know, if you're a black, if you're a Mexican, if you're this, if you're that, you could get these loans, interest-free loans, or you could apply for this and apply for that, and you were put at top of the list, you know, to get it. And I mean, you know, just talk about insanity. It's like, you know, I mean, you'd think that you'd want to take care of the people. I mean, we call it insanity, and it is insane to us. But when they're destroyers, when they come to steal, kill, and destroy, and when you realize that who they're after, and that there are enemies, they're the enemies of Christ, then it makes sense, and it puts it into this is war, and this is warfare that has taken place. And, you know, they've been doing it covertly for a long time.
Well, and anything that touches... Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I was just going to say, it's very interesting that, you can work your whole life to put things in place to get played. And like you said, they're instantly catapulted to the top of the list because they're geographically or because they're, some other way challenged. So, it's like, I'm reminded, it always brings me back to the Bible verse, Micah 7:3, as for evil, both hands do it well. The leader asks for a bribe, also the judge, and the great one speaks the capricious desire of his soul. So they plot it together. And, if you dwell on that verse a little bit, it becomes, you know, painfully obvious that that's like, go on, you know, people that live here, that work here, that make this country what it is, make it great, or try to uphold the values of our country, they're left wanting, because what they have is taken and given to someone else. The dogs end up with it, you know. I mean, so it's like, yeah, there you go. But I'm sorry, Josh.
No, I was just going to touch on that. I know for a fact that, you know, it used to be pretty much anybody that touches any federal money through any way, if you got any kind of subsidy or tax break, or, you know, get any of your money from the government, there's a requirement that a certain percentage of your business be done with minorities. And that's goods and contracts and, you know, overall. And it doesn't matter if you can't find someone that's competent, that doesn't matter. It just, what matters is you've got to do a certain amount of volume with minority businesses. And in some industries, that's quite the challenge, to try to find someone who can actually provide this service as a minority contractor. But it's kind of one of those deals where if you choose that carrot, you know, you are subject to their rules. And, that's not a good spot to be.
Well, I know. Yeah, and we've had that happen quite a bit around here. And I mean, you can have a company, like, for instance, a towing company that's been around, you know, a family run towing company that's in, you know, second or third generation. And then there's a new one that pops up and it's minority owned, and they get all these contracts, and, you know, they're the most expensive, and they've got, inexperienced help. And, you know, it's, it, you, it's not, you're not getting what you pay for. And it's, but it's one of those things is they're going to get so much of the jobs from, you know, the state patrol, from businesses that are getting stuff that, you know, having stuff removed off their parking lots from the, we've got Colorado State University was one of their biggest clients, you know, different things like that. And they're just pretty much a guaranteed get, you know, a third of the business.
Doesn't matter how bad they are.
No.
Or if they produce or anything, it doesn't matter.
It does not matter. And, you know, it shouldn't be that way. I mean, you know, and I mean, I know that there's a lot of good companies and stuff that are minority owned. I'm not trying to say that, and I'm not trying to be down on all minorities by any means. But I'm saying if you need to be able to be provide a good service, and that's what should be the competition. I mean, it's, you know, does that make sense?
I know a guy, he has a tree service, and he had a $500,000 contract somewhere in Muskegon. Well, he had the contract. Well, they took it away from him, and they gave it to somebody out of Illinois for $1 million. You know, so this isn't about money. This is about politics. And if you, and you, you know, and the higher you go, the more you pay. But we got to remember who sent these people. God sent these people. You read Deuteronomy. He says, I'll send people to you that will consume your food and everything. And if that ain't true right now, God has sent this because we have not kept God's law. You know, this country was founded on God's law. It's just amazing how it was put together, because I'm sure there was a huge amount of difference of opinion when they put that Constitution together. But they even said in the Constitution it would only work for a God-fearing people. Well, you don't have God-fearing people in this country in any place. So, a lot of our people have taken government money. If you read Gaines Brown, he took it and he wished he never had. And you know, so you can do it on faith. You just do it on faith and live within your means. You know, when we sold the dairy cows, I don't know, I think they had four cows I bought from the neighbor. And in no time, you got a herd of cows if you just retain the heifers. And it's just amazing how fast it goes. The government has nothing to pay you that it didn't take from somewhere else, except now it's completely out of hand. They're just printing money left and right. They don't even have it. And if you read that book, Everything They Told Is a Lie on the Economics, George Washington had times just like this, the immorality and all the craziness and how he fixed it. He had to have gold and silver money, and it just was amazing how fast the thing turned around. These people can print money that they don't even have, and they're consuming us. And it's our fault. We've gone a horn after other gods. That U.S. government is another god, and it's failing, you know, right now.
And it's so easy to inadvertently, just the way we speak and the way we act, to put faith in that system. You really got to watch and guard yourself to keep that from happening.
Well, yeah, I was reading an article that kind of ties into that, Josh. I was reading an article here the other day, and the only thing that keeps the monetary system functional in our country is faith in the monetary system. Because obviously, what is it? I think given our national debt and everything else, why you literally could sell the world 10 times over and couldn't pay it. So I was talking to some guys here a while back about the student loan issue, which seems to be a very highly emotional state, you know, as far as paying student loans. And when you look at that, you say, those kids need to pay it back. They need to this, they need to that. Oh, it's not fair to have the taxpayers pay that and everything. And they're talking about forgiveness or whatever. But the point is I think that people miss the coin, the phrase from, you know, a movie is there is no spoon, you know, it's all just faith. And do I think that people should take loans and do worthless schooling? No, that's not what it's about, though. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, the whole thing is, it's all a sham, you know, it's all it's all make-believe. And there's a lot of people out there who just cannot get a handle on that, that, you know, that that's going
pay
on.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Exactly, yeah. So, and I always appreciate the fact when they say, well, how are we going to repay this? We owe this. And it's like, and you know, when you're the person there that hasn't spent, hasn't done, you know, it's like, who's this we? Are you French? I mean, I don't have, I had nothing to do with it, you know? So I'm not, yeah, that's not my, yeah, I don't want to participate in that system. Thank you very much.
It's totally unpayable. It's just flat out is unpayable from any source that we have. Yeah, the only way to handle it is God's way, write it off. They didn't lend you nothing. When they lend you a contract, you agreed to pay it back with your labor and your resources, and they had absolutely nothing invested except a piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not, those words aren't coming out of my mouth that we owe that or that I owe that. Well, my children owe that. I'm not going to curse them that way. That, I deny it. It is not, you know, it's not tenable, and it's not, I'm not going to cop to that. So there you go, you know.
It'd be interesting to see or to know how much of that debt was due to interest, like how much is, what part of it is actual principal and interest. And I know it's all make-believe numbers anyway, but just another way that it's out of order in God's system.
Well, there's a website called the National Debt Clock. If you want to do something fun sometime, go to that and take a look at it. I believe it's still up. I haven't looked in for a while. It's not really something I spend all my time looking at, but they actually have a live interest clock on there that's running on the national debt, and it will just floor you to watch that thing. I mean, you're not talking about, you know, $1,000 a second here. I mean, it's just, it's astronomical. So it's like, yeah, okay. And my father-in-law used to say, he said, every businessman knows when he's made a mistake and he goes underwater. And it's, you know, the old saying grandparents used to have, if you're in a hole, you know, stop digging if you want to get out. And
right.
It's the same thing. When you look at that and see that, it's like, Dad used to say, well, you know, I can fix the national debt tomorrow. You don't need Donald Trump. You don't need, all you got to do is just take your pencil out, sharpen it, lick the end of the lead, draw a line through it. It's done, you know, reset. And God, and that's godly. God has that system in there. I mean, he had the series of, and Paul talks about it quite a bit, he had the series of jubilees and the sabbatical years and everything else. Those were for our benefit, and they benefited everyone. And it's absolutely amazing if you talk to a lot of mainstream people, they just can't wrap their mind around that at all. You know, well, what about what I'm owed? And it's like, well, if you don't owe anything, everybody's, it's level, you know, it's done. So they want to make everybody owe something. God wants to make everybody not owe anything, you know, so. There's quite a divergence of principle and policy there.
Well, and I think I want to read a couple of verses here in Deuteronomy 6, starting with verse 1. It says, now this is the commandment of the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, so that you may do them in the land where you are going over to take possession of it, so that you, your sons, and your grandson will fear the Lord your God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that the days may be prolonged. Now, Israel, you shall listen and be careful to do them, so that it may go well for you, and that you may increase greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These are the words which I am commanding you today. And, you know, but it starts off with, before the scripture starts, it says, obey God and prosper. And You know, basically is what we're talking about is, you know, the lack of prosperity because we've gotten away from God's law. God's is, you know, we haven't kept his statutes as a people, I'm saying. I mean, we as a remnant, that's what we're striving and trying to do and trying to encourage other people to do. But, you know, as a nation, no, we haven't.
For a long time.
Amen. Well, and I think we're so far from it sometimes that we don't even know, we don't even know all the things that we're not doing. You know what I mean? Right. But
it's hard to even imagine what good looks like or how it would be
exactly,
to be in the kingdom.
Yeah. So if you start someplace, God says he'll add the rest of it to you. You know, it'll come, but you've got to get started. So that's what we're. That's what we're attempting to do. Do you understand it all? No, I don't claim to. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things there. I'm like, well, okay. I know, you know, but I have faith that if you can keep the small things, that the big things will happen and will come to you and you will gain understanding and be able to accomplish them, you know?
Well, if each of us do our part every day and do the best that we can, we can't do it. I mean, it's not something that we can do on our own, but if we do our part, just like what you're saying, and take care of the little that we can do, he will do his part and take care of the all that he can do. We've got his word on that. I mean, it's right there in the word.
Well, that's the key, is get your own life in order. And then, you know, because, you know, we've all walked away from Babylon to some degree, we're in the world, but not of it. We have to deal with it day in and day out. But, the song, by the rivers of Babylon, how can we sing a good song once you remember the old country, basically? And because there's nothing to sing about. We're in a deep, deep trouble. But on the other hand, rejoice always, so we can.
Amen. I agree with you, and I think that's, you know, one of the things is, as you know, just like those Gideon's soldiers of old, though weary, they pressed on, and that's what we need to do is, you know, we need to press on, we need to smile at the future, and we need to, you know, continue to do our part each and every day. I was going to say it earlier, it was kind of funny, this week, my boys came home, my two younger boys, they came home, and they were over playing with some neighbor kids, they had that look on their face, and I knew that somebody was in trouble about something. And I said, "Well, what happened?" And both of them were like, "Well, it wasn't us." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, what happened?" They said, they were playing with their cousin, and their cousin said something about a stinking queer or filthy fag or something like that. And I just kind of like, rolled my eyes, and I'm like, "Okay." And I said, "So you guys." Your guys weren't in trouble about anything. Nope, nope, nope. I said, well, what did you say? And, you know, Jace, my 8-year-old, he pipes up and he's like, well, I just told him, well, I hear Dad say that all the time. And, but then he's like, then we decided that we better get out of there. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's, just we got to keep trying, we got to push forward, we got to do our part each and every day. Push, be stronger, be more diligent, get into the Word of God, share the things that we're talking about, because it's amazing is you know, the things that we're talking about right here today are things that there's a lot of people out there that have these kind of thoughts. And when you start talking to them, one thought brings on another thought and another, and it encourages them to break out of their shell and think outside the box also.
And it's such a benefit for them and us to know that you're not alone, because they try to make us feel like we're the only ones that think the way we think, and that's not true.
Amen. Well, we are just about out of time, men. I want to thank you for being here. And Remnant, thank you for tuning in this morning. Tomorrow we're going to have some scriptures on Father's Day. And I do want to go ahead, if there's, wish the you fathers out there, happy Father's Day. Hope you have a blessed day. tomorrow, blessed weekend. And I think we'll go out with, oh, I think this is appropriate for a commercial to go out with. Preachers or pimps? You decide.
Scriptures for America has a number of resources available for use by his people. Preachers or Pimps is a booklet, CD, and DVD set created by Pastor Peters. Pastor Peter J. Peters preached on the abhorring that has gone on in the church pulpits of America. Are the preachers in the churches of today God-fearing Christian men who proclaim the Word of God as truth, regardless of the cost? Or are they pimps who have whored themselves for the almighty dollar? Read this booklet and you decide. For a donation of $3 or more, you may order the booklet. For a donation of $15 or more, you may order the entire package consisting of the booklet, an audio CD, and a video DVD. To place your order, you may go online to scripturesforamerica.org. By postal mail, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado.